Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Snodcast. Now, it's been a big week on the show as I have realised one of my childhood dreams. And that is to play, well, I didn't play for them, but I played against them, the Liverpool legends, for my local football team, Bangor Football Club. And guess what? I even made the sport.
Burnley Football and the Manchester United and Liverpool legends are in town with the big match yesterday, seeing Liverpool defeat local side Bangor 3-2. Our very own Pete Snodden lined out for the Seasiders and played a significant part by assisting David Irvine for Bangor's second goal. The legends are in action all week and finish off with the Belfast Cup tournament on Saturday.
So yes, it was a defining moment. I didn't play great, but it didn't stop me bumming it up. Coming up on this week's Snodcast, we talk about what makes Kirsty cry. There's a brand new sports craze that is sweeping the province. We have realised a brand new way that you know you're getting on a bit. And our sports Jedi, Nigel, joins us as I question him over a number of sports that he never covers on our sports roundup. It all awaits you on this week's Snodcast.
Snodcast.
We've talked in this show before about Kirsty being a bit soppy and whatnot. I have heard it all during the last song. Now, with regards to New Year's Eve, you always get very sentimental on New Year's Eve.
I do. I'm a sentimental soul, you
know? And you cry on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because you think about the things that have happened in the past 12 months and hopefully the next 12 months will be just as good.
If not better.
Well,
listen. Oh, don't get me started. It's only halfway through the year.
It's the best part, right? I don't know whether you caught this or not on Friday, but it was Fern and Philip going off on their summer vacation. Tell us all about it, Kirsty, right? On this morning on the TV, what happened?
Well, I caught the last half hour of the show. I never watch it.
Okay,
so, but we do talk about them. So, we sort of keep
in touch. So you're not like a real massive Fern and Philip fan who tunes in religiously every morning?
No.
Okay. So what happened then on Friday? Because this is the first time in about 6 months you got to see Fern and Philip. What happened on Friday morning? Well, talk us through it.
They were saying goodbye because they're off in their summer halls now until September. It's all right for some, isn't it?
750 grand a year and a brand new 2 year deal for Fern, and she's off for another 6 weeks. Wow.
Where would you get it? I want her job when she goes.
Kirsty, the only other place you would get it is if you're a school teacher. That's correct.
Right, not that sort of money, though.
So what happened?
Well, they said their goodbyes, and it was quite sad. And they showed a reel of, I don't know how many minutes, it was a good couple of minutes anyway, of their best bits throughout the year. And I called that. And yeah.
And you cried.
It nearly brought a tear to my eye.
It's always bringing a tear to my eye. Fern and Philip are going to be on the TV for 6 months.
Yeah, Eamon's on with his missus now. But
go on, Eamon.
I was going to say something there and I shouldn't have. But then I watched MasterChef on Friday night.
Tell me you didn't cry at MasterChef. Tell
I
me
did. Did.
You
the tears
did
were dripping me.
What the heck happened to MasterChef? Did they burn their blancmange or something?
No,
what made
well,
you cry?
It was the semi-final and all week has been the semi-final build-up and one of them had to go.
And who went?
Lewis.
And who's that?
He's a guy that used to be in Brookside years ago.
Right, okay.
And he's been in a few comedy things since then. I can't remember his surname. He's a good guy, fantastic cook. He's out of there.
Bless.
Sure, I cried. I cried in the last one that wasn't even a celebrity one. When James won it. And Johnny from Northern Ireland didn't.
And
but he's doing okay for himself.
Is there anything else over the weekend made you cry?
I can't think. Maybe being in the gym again for the first time in 2 weeks is painful,
right.
But feel better for it.
We'll stay here 6 to 10 weekday mornings at Pete's Northern Breakfast Show for more crying updates over the coming weeks. I can't believe you cried at Fern and Philip going away on their summer holidays. It's a belter. 97.4
Cool FM Snodcast.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know I've become such a fan of YouTube.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Well, on Friday, okay, before I went out with Donoghue Boozer, I was around my friend Andrew's house and he had the local County Down Spectator on his kitchen table.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's been a while since I have read the Spectator. I generally don't tend to buy it. I used to always, if I'm around at mum and dad's house, I always read it. And whenever I lived there, which is many moons ago, they got it delivered every week and I used to read it religiously.
Yeah.
But to be honest, most of my friends and stuff buy it to find out who's in the naughty segment of the paper. You know, who's got done for, you know, perhaps drink driving, or who's got done good points in their license, or who's in court and all this stuff. And it usually gives local people something to gossip about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, on Friday, I was looking through the sporting pages of that particular paper, and I found to my shock horror that, like WWE, you know, the wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Bangor has got its very own championship. It's called WC or BCW, Banger Championship Wrestling.
It really?
Does, honestly, right? And this is the thing which gets me the most. Out of the Banger Championship Wrestlers, they fight for the world title. The world being Banger. Anyway, right? So so they go out and do all the... You know the way it comes up in WWE, you know, don't try this at home and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, they've got their very own, like, you know, ring, and they've got their own, you know, the main men, and they've got, like, the, you know, all their different characters, like The Undertaker, they've got someone.
Where is all this? Why have I never heard of it before?
It happens at a place called, it happens in a Hamilton house in Bangor.
No, that's where I used to go for ballet lessons.
I used to go there before Bangor had a cinema many, many years ago. Whenever I was a kid, I used to go there on a Saturday afternoon to watch movies. They used to show movies there on a Saturday afternoon, true. And then
really?
You had the wee tuck shop and all. Yeah, it was great.
Used to be part of Bangor Tech.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Used to have classes.
I remember
in
having
there.
To go there one time to watch Care Bears. What the hell was I going to watch Care Bears for? But anyway, right? But that's besides the point. So anyway, they've got Bangor Championship Wrestling, right? And I said earlier, this makes me laugh. With no disrespect, I just think it's quite humorous, okay? You can actually go on and check them out. Go on to YouTube and type in Bangor Championship Wrestling, right?
Uh-huh.
And see what comes up. And you know what? The crowd are going wild in it. Well, wild.
How many is a crowd?
There looks to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 in this particular shot.
Wow.
Honestly, and that's how many was in for the world title fight, which was happening last week. So it was in the paper and it's actually on YouTube, right? I would love to speak to the Vince McMahon of this wrestling organisation to see exactly what goes down.
Do you know what I'd love? I'd love for them to get you down there and have a wee go.
What did you... No way.
Take on the world champion. Of the BCWE, whatever they're called.
You seriously, ladies and gentlemen, go and check it out. It's comical, right? They even bring a table into the ring and all, and they batter each other over the heads with it and stuff. It's very, very good. So, Bangor Championship Wrestling on YouTube. Go and check it out. Snodcast. Now, last night, I didn't actually get to see Gordon Ramsay's F Word.
No, neither did I.
And we are, of course, inundated with loads of culinary programmes. Take, for instance, tonight, Marco Pierre White is back on our TV screen.
Oh, and so is MasterChef.
Marco's Great British Feast at 9 p.m. Uh-huh. Marco Pierre White reaches the climax. I love that word. Of his 6-month road trip seeking the greatest British dishes. However, despite the fact he has already arranged for 220 diners to gather in the heart of the Sussex countryside to feast on the results of his quest, he has yet to find a suitable pudding. Eventually, he narrows down the options to creme brulee, Eton mess, and jelly.
Creme brulee doesn't sound very English, does it? If he's going for Great British...
No, it doesn't really.
It doesn't sound British, I should say.
No, not at all. But it sounds much better than what he was doing last week, and that was eating squirrels. And that doesn't sound very British either, does it?
I'd rather have eaten mess.
When it comes to food, what did you have last night?
Actually, I didn't really have any dinner. Oh, no, I did. I had, one of those sandwiches where you can get, like, the one of the day...
Oh,
at a reduced rate.
Did you have foot long or 6-inch?
6 inches. 6 inches is plenty.
Really?
Yeah, any more and it's just a waste.
Well, I have to say, now, in general, whenever I do go to that establishment, I do like to get a foot long. But there you go.
But that was in between gym and then I was heading out after that and I just needed food. So that's all I had from gym last night.
Did you have meatballs in it?
No, I had... sweet chili chicken.
Oh, very nice. Well, I had Thai green chicken curry last night.
Did you?
Yes, it was lovely.
And how did your night go last night?
I had that and then I finished cleaning the house and I went to bed.
On your own?
Well, I went to bed first and then Julia joined me about half an hour later after she got off the phone.
Were you already asleep?
No, I was tossing and turning a bit.
Trying
to get comfortable and then I slept.
Right, well, the reason I'm asking that is because apparently this morning they're saying Thai green curry is the meal to get your lover in the mood. According to new research, it has more ingredients classed as aphrodisiacs than any other dish. They include cardamom, ginseng, garlic, ginger, basil, lemongrass and asparagus, all considered by different cultures to get you feeling sexy. Did it work?
Well, I've disproved that theory anyway. Snodcast. Jeremy Kyle cheated death yesterday.
I believe so.
I didn't actually hear this in the news last night. Was it on the news last night?
No, I just read it in the paper this morning.
Front page of the Daily Mirror today. TV Jeremy Kyle cheated death in a horror smash that sent one car spinning onto its roof. Apparently he was shaking like a leaf afterwards.
Well, he would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I have to say, I've been fortunate enough, right, never to be involved in an accident with another car. But I have been in an accident myself and I will never, ever, ever forget it and the feeling it leaves you with. I was 18 at the time.
You just think you're
going to
die?
Time.
don't you?
Yeah, well, what actually happened to me was I was driving along the Sydney bypass, mm-hmm. and I was getting ready to go to the Odyssey, and I was going to continue on and go over the M3 bridge for whatever reason. I can't remember why. And then I decided, no, I have to go left here. But the problem was the rain was that heavy that I sort of aquaplaned. Okay. Oh. There was so much surface water on the road. So whenever I went to go left, to go up over the bridge, you know, down mm-hmm. in towards town, I sort of aquaplaned across. And where the road comes in a V to go straight on the M3 or go over the bridge, there's like, you know, obviously a circular big curbing.
Yeah.
And I hit the curbing straight on. And the car spun right across both lanes and landed in the hard shoulder. Didn't touch any other car, but the actual axle of the car was bent in shape, and both airbags came out and scared the life clean out of me.
Oh my
And all
goodness.
I remember is the smell of gunpowder. And Julia was sitting beside me, like, Are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? And it was just the most horrible thing ever. And yeah. I will never, ever, ever forget it. Touch wood. I haven't been in an accident since then. What was yours like?
Mine was sort of on my own. Another car was involved, but not involved. I was driving in Germany, so I can say I had my foot down.
Right, okay.
Okay, on quite a windy road. It was on my way to work.
You weren't on the Autobahn?
I wasn't on the Autobahn, no. It was a road off the Autobahn. And as I was coming along this sort of country road, I noticed a car coming up another road which joins on. So there's a junction at the top. And he was flying. But as he came to the junction, he should have stopped. Instead of hitting the brake, he hit his accelerator. And just as I was about to pass him, he was accelerating out. So I thought, well, I don't want him hitting my car, so I drove off the road.
Oh, right.
But okay. The thing is, in Germany, there's no hard shoulder or anything. There's ditches at the side of the road.
So you hit the ditch.
Well, the ditch is about 4 foot deep.
Oh, dear. You're lucky to be here.
And there was a big tree as well. So I sort of went down the ditch. I accelerated out of the ditch, missed the tree, was in air, and when I landed, my head hit the roof. Eventually stopped. But I thought I was going to die. I seriously did. I was lucky to get the car out of the ditch, to be honest.
You seriously have to go for a job in Jukes of Hazzard. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Well, Kirsty, another day.
Oh, yes.
Pete and Kirsty play Guess What?
And ladies and gentlemen, I've got a brand new girl playing, obviously, with me for the girls this morning. Her name is Vicky. We'll speak to her shortly. But first, still in the lead with the blokes, and he's been on the show for quite a few days now. And, of course, he is an internet phenomenon. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Are you bouncing around there, dancing away?
It's great.
Now, Tom, have you noticed the difference, right, in the amount of hits you've received on your YouTube page since we mentioned it yesterday?
I did indeed.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out yet, Tom, are you quite embarrassed about this?
I am, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I was dumb about my knowledge.
Oh, really? Well, you seem to be quite good. Your posture's very good for the old Irish dancing.
Oh, thanks very much.
So Tom dances, Irish dances around the brush, ladies and gentlemen. Do check it out. It's called The Lord of the Brush and it's on YouTube. Would you like lots more people to go and view you, Tom?
I'm not at all.
How old were you when you did this? How long ago was it?
6 months ago.
We thought it might have been a few years ago, but
It was all just for a laugh. Like, it wasn't meant to go that far.
All right. Okay. Well, okay, check it out. The Lord of the Brush on YouTube. Right, Tom, how confident are you feeling today?
Not too bad.
Feeling quite good.
That's good. Think positive. Okay, yeah. Come on, Tom. We can do it again. How many days have you been on now? Is this your fifth day?
I don't really know.
Four or five, I reckon.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, we'll play with you shortly. We'll find out who you're playing against this morning. Hello, Vicky.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm good on, yeah. Good
well,
on.
It's lovely to have you on the show. What do you do yourself?
I'm sitting on the hard shoulder of the M2 here going to work.
Oh, and where do you work?
I'm working up in Caller Gas in Belfast.
Very good. And where are you from?
Originally from Ballymoney, but I've just moved to Antrim.
Oh, have you?
Yep.
And are you enjoying Antrim life?
Yes, it's quiet. Ballymoney's quiet, but Antrim's quiet too, so it does me.
All right, happy days. All right, are you confident this morning?
A wee bit.
All right, well, you hold the line. We'll play with Tom first. Of course, what you got to do is identify exactly what we're talking about. Let's see how Tom and Kirsty get on this morning. All right, Tom, ready to play?
I am, yep.
Let's do it. Okay. 30 seconds on the clock.
You wear these on your feet in summer. Apparently Moses had some.
Flip-flops.
What? Flip-flops. Moses had some.
What?
You know, sandals. Like Moses.
Sandals.
Yes. If you spill this on your clothes while you're cleaning the toilet, it'll turn them white.
Bleach.
It's a fruit with spikes on top. It's used in a pina colada.
Pineapple.
Excellent. You stick this out at someone you don't like.
Tongue.
He's an actor, played Sweeney Todd and Willy Wonka.
I don't know.
Okay, you paint this on the end of your fingers.
Trumpet, or...
You paint this on the end of your fingers.
Toenails. No funny.
No, too late, too late.
Did you say nail polish?
Time is out.
The actor, of course, was Johnny Depp. We had 1, 2, 3, 4. Four, right. Oh, Tom.
Oh,
let's see if it's enough. Go on, Pete. Your turn.
All right, Dan. Sorry, I just love the river dance music for you, Tom.
I love that music.
Right, okay, Vicky, you can afford a beat. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. 30 seconds on the clock. All right, you wear this on your wrist and it doesn't tell the time.
Bracelet.
Correct. You can get one of these in a phone or in a pod and it holds lots of music.
Sound card?
No. It's a brand of something. It's a brand of an MP3 player. It's a what? It's, you know what I mean?
iPhone.
What's the opposite of an iPhone? It holds music.
What brand?
No! Okay, move on. Move on, okay? It's in... Damn! It was an iPod.
Desperate.
Vicky, an iPod.
How many did you get right, Pete?
There's two varieties, right? An iPhone and the other one that holds lots of music.
I don't have one.
Oh, dear.
Thank you very much for playing, Vicky.
I think I lost about 10 seconds there. Can I have another question?
I don't think it's going to help much. I think you only got one, right?
I don't think it will either.
We only got one.
But good try, Vicky.
Oh, well.
Thanks
well
for
done.
Playing. Bye.
All good. Bye.
Tom.
Hello.
I love you.
Another point for the blokes, Tom. Keep dancing. The Lord of the Brush, ladies and gentlemen. Go on and check Tom out. He'll be back in the show tomorrow morning on YouTube. Thank you, Tom.
Cheers.
Speak to you tomorrow.
Right, scores in the doors, please, Kirsty.
9-5 to the boys.
That's getting so frustrated there. 16 minutes to 9 o'clock now. Get your headlines in Traffic and Travel next as I go and try and recuperate and wipe off the beads of sweat off my forehead. Snodcast. Some interesting news in this morning's papers. First and foremost, right? We've got Ballycastle yesterday. I've never actually seen this happen anywhere before. Whenever the circus comes to town, do you ever see the animals paraded through the streets?
I think that used to happen years ago, didn't it?
Did it? I have no idea. Well, anyway, the whole of Ballycastle came to standstill yesterday as two of the elephants walked through the streets, just out for a wee leisurely stroll.
Oh, cool.
Imagine if you're in a rush somewhere. Less. Also this morning, Des O'Connor's The Quick Countdown. That didn't last long. Bye.
Yeah, it was 2 years he did.
Very good.
He just can't...
Des Lynam was on before him doing that, wasn't he?
Yes.
And Des wouldn't have been great at it.
No.
Have you seen Des doing that Mastermind sport thing?
No.
I don't think many people have either. I doubt the viewing figures for that's very good, I have to say. No offence to Des, right? Des, legendary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's brilliant at what he does.
Yeah.
All right? And I totally have so much respect for the man.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, right? Do girls, people who watch TV, okay? Now, I know I'm a bloke, I don't fancy him, but I'm just wondering, does Des still have sex appeal?
No. Do you know who you want to get in the countdown chair?
Who?
Philip Schofield.
I knew you were going to say that. Since I mentioned Des, it's the grey hair thing brought Philip Schofield to your mind, a silver fox, wasn't
it? I like a silver fox.
Why do you think Philip Schofield would be good at countdown? Checking all the grannies that love him?
Everybody loves him.
Do you ever watch countdown?
I loved countdown. I haven't watched it since Richard Whiteley died, though.
Was Des too limo for countdown?
I'm just not a big lover of Des.
Are you not?
Or the other one.
All right. I have to say, I was a big lover of Mel. You know how many glasses of water she has to drink to hydrate her skin?
How many?
Oh, it is quite a lot. Now, last night, there was meant to be a singles night taking place at the Queen's Film Theatre in Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to show the film A Complete History of My Sexual Failures, which is about... No, it's true, Bill. It's about this bloke whose mum comes to him and says, you know, why does no one want to go out with you? And then he goes back and speaks to all his exes to work out exactly where he went wrong.
Okay.
And Sarah Hughes, who is the press and marketing officer at the QFT, said the cinema was intent on trying a singles night again. So she threw down the gauntlet to Northern Ireland single men. This is in this morning's Belfast Telegraph. Men of Northern Ireland, where's your gumption? Mm-hmm. Now, the deal is this, right? They were all set for a great night out. They could have sold the female tickets twice over, but they only got 50% of the men required for the evening.
Oh,
so they had to cancel it.
Oh, they cancelled?
Yeah, they cancelled it. So my question is this, and I have to be honest and say I've never been to a singles night before.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to one?
No, the only thing I've done is I helped host a speed dating event.
Right, okay.
Once up in Belfast. Right. But I've never been on a proper singles night.
Right, okay. Do you think singles nights are a waste of time? Do you think they should be, there should be a place for them in the 21st century? Or do you think people should just stay at home and look at their computer?
Well, I can't really comment because I haven't been to one. I don't know really what it's like. But I suppose if people are using it, they should have the option to decide whether they want to go or not.
But obviously, it seems the blokes aren't up for that. I have to be honest with you and say that if I was single, okay, I think I'd find it extremely difficult to go to a singles night.
Is it because single women have some sort of, like, label attached to them, that no. They're all ugly or something?
No, nothing like that. The situation
why
is...
Why won't the blokes go? Right, why don't blokes go to singles nights?
Right, okay, listen to me. It's as simple as this, right? You stand, right, in a club normally, okay, and it's mm-hmm. not a singles night.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls are in there, not only I and the blokes up and down, but I and the girls up and down, right?
Yeah.
And given their view on how they look, and look at her, do you see what she's wearing? And quite frankly, if I was going to singles night, I wouldn't quite fancy
that.
Walking through the door and having to contend with that.
But you're going to get it no matter where you go anyway.
I know, but if you go to a singles night, you know, there's more...
No, there's not.
There is. It's like, it's almost, you know what, if I went to a singles night, I'd feel like a piece of meat. Snodcast. Now, last night, ladies and gentlemen, went to see Mark Ronson at St. George's Market, and I have to say, it was a top gig. Side at the start, I thought it was a bit ropey, but apart from that there, I'll tell you something, he's got some entourage. Honestly, there was four tour buses out the side of St. George's Market, and I thought, four tour buses for Mark Ronson? Who's he got with him? Well, on stage, there must have been about 12 people, and then he had all these different runners, and then for all the different songs, he had different people coming out to sing. So a whole host of people. I tell you something, he must have got a fair check for doing the gig, or all the people who are actually working for him get paid pittance.
Mm.
But last night, something was flagged up to me that made me think, you know what, we're just not as young as we used to be. And it was on leaving the venue last night, and everyone was outside handing out flyers for all the different club nights happening around Belfast.
Yeah.
And Greg, my brother-in-law, was leaving, and he walked past the guy with the flyer, and the guy with the flyer took a look at him up and down and then just put his head down. So Greg walked past him. Greg says to me, my goodness, you know you're kicking on a bit whenever the guy doesn't even want to give you a flyer to go to his nightclub.
How old is he?
30.
Well, that's hardly old.
Yeah, I know that. But the guy who was hanging out was probably 18. And I sort of thought to myself, that's actually a very fair point. You know, although you're not old, you're just not as young as you used to be.
Mm.
And I've been trying to think what's actually happened to me in recent times. It's made me think, you know what, I've, you know, pushing on a wee bit.
Anything come to mind?
Maybe sorting out life insurance policies. Cleaning the blinds with Pledge. Who the hell cleans the blinds? You know what I mean?
Oh dear.
I think that was probably something in recent days that made me think, you know what, things are bad whenever you start to really, you know, have to think about the state of the blind in the house. Has anything happened to you, Kirsty, in recent times that makes you think to yourself, you know what, I'm just not quite as young as you used to be?
When I realised that I sound exactly like my mother did when she was my age. And when I'm not asked for photographic ID trying to get into a club, everybody in front of me has asked for ID and I'm with them and I don't.
I tell you something, right?
I complain. I'm like, please, no, come on, ask me for my ID as well. Don't have any on me, but... You know, it'd be nice to be asked.
I have to be honest and say that, I have got older, yeah, but sometimes I'm still quite juvenile. For instance, right, this is like slating myself, but honestly, the other week we were going into the pub and I got asked for ID and I was like, high five and everyone, yes! I was almost like the guy, please don't let me in. Snodcast. So Kirsty, tell us this here, right? After watching your documentary last night, was John Barrowman gay from birth, or was it the way he was brought up?
I think they decided that he was gay from birth. And then they tried to look deeper into it to see if it was DNA or whatever. And the one point that did come across was that if you're a part of a big family.
Right, okay.
And say you are the fourth son.
Yes.
After the first son, every son after that has a higher percentage of a chance of being gay.
Oh, they're full of No. How the hell do they work this stuff out? You know what I mean?
This is research that's been going on for years and years
I know, but hold on a second. How does a show like this here get... What channel was
the
this on?
Say the fourth son in a family is 75%... has a 75% chance of being gay.
Right.
Right. So all those guys out there that are... let us know. Is it true? It was very interesting, I have to say.
No, but hold on a wee second here.
Barman's lovely.
Listen, was this on the BBC?
I don't know what channel it was on.
Kirsty, you must have some idea of what channel it was
on.
I
have no idea.
Okay, let's say, for instance, it wasn't the BBC. I cannot believe...
It might have been BBC Two.
I cannot believe, right, the licensed pair's money is going in to making programming and working out how long people have been gay for.
At the end of the day,
surely.
It's him finding out where his roots are.
In the 21st century, right? I know where his roots are. They're on his head. He's probably dyed his hair. Right. In the 21st century, okay? If you're gay, you're gay. If you're straight, you're straight. If you're black, you're black. If you're white, you're white. If you're Asian, you're Asian. At the end of the day, that is it. You're born the way you're born. Let's get on with it. Who cares?
Well, he wanted to find out for himself, and he's the gay one here.
So he wanted to find out. Well, then that makes it all different.
It wasn't them doing an investigation into why is John Barrowman gay.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was like a UTV insight. You know what I mean?
No, it was a documentary following him in his quest to find out, was he gay from birth or was it the way he was brought up?
Okay. So it was because of the. It was because of when he was born. He popped out and he was like, "Hi, I'm gay."
Yeah, but
obviously
it's
he didn't say that.
It wasn't in his DNA because he has the same DNA sort of print as his brother, who isn't gay.
Right. Okay, then. Well, that's good. So, ladies and gentlemen, the deal is this: John Barrowman is gay, and he was gay from birth. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what the actual show last night that you watched told us.
And he was very happy to find that out. I hope I've got it all right because I don't want to mislead anyone. But I'm sure that's the conclusion they came to.
Right. Okay. Did you know John Barrowman was gay before this?
Yes.
Right. Well, you got it.
It was the first time I've really seen him being himself.
Right. Okay.
And even though he plays a gay part in Doctor Who and Torchwood, because his role is a gay role.
Right.
It's not that camp. But, you know, is that a bad word to use?
What, camp?
I hope I don't cause offence by saying that.
No.
But he is more outwardly gay than you think when you see him
Camp is happy.
Good. I don't want to sort of annoy anybody this morning.
We could turn around and say, Kirsty, it's 6:21. We're feeling good and gay this morning. We're feeling good and we're happy.
Carry on camping.
Exactly. All right. So that's good. That's good to know.
No, it's very good. Brilliant. I enjoyed it.
Excellent stuff. So Gok Wan's Fashion Fix, or John Barrowman, gay or not. What was that show called? Are they going into everybody sort of?
I think there's going to be other people investigating other aspects of their lives. I don't know. I'll check it out.
Please check it out.
Okay.
Okay. Brilliant.
Is that done?
That's okay. Just wanted to know what way it works. You know what I mean? Are some people gay when they arrive on this planet and then turn straight? That's the question. That's the next thing for these punters who are making these shows.
Well, I think they probably disproved that from last night.
Oh, did they?
You're gay or you're not when you're born. It's like, it's not social.
Okay. Ah, that's what they created. Ah, right, okay, very good. So it's not like...
It's not the way you're brought up. They had a set of twins on, twin boys, right?
Right.
And I think the one that was younger, they showed their bedroom, right? One half of the bedroom for the one twin was all like real boy stuff. Action men and swords and it was... And then the other side... For the younger twin, it was all like pink, and they were saying that. I didn't know what they were saying, but it was just interesting to see. I'm talking the biggest load of rubbish here.
No, not at all. So, in other words, right? It's not social. For instance, right? You're born. Okay.
Obviously, they're both brought up the same way.
Yeah, okay,
the same house by the same people.
Yes. Okay, but listen.
And they both turned out completely differently.
All right. Okay. So it's not.
Interests.
So it's not social.
It's not social.
So in other words, right, you have a son, okay?
Yes.
He's third in the list. The other two are girls, okay? And they play, they're older than your son, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? And they like to dress him up and paint his face and makeup.
It's not going to alter him at all.
There we go then.
He'll survive that.
Can't believe the BBC, right, commissioned a show on John Barrowman just to work that out. That's great. Licensed pairs of money, ladies and gentlemen. Well spent, gifts! Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast. We've gone hooked out of the bin, one of the FC's papers, to find out exactly which show it was that Kirsty watched last night. What was it called?
The Making of Me. Basically, celebrities are analysed to discover the source of defining traits, talents or characteristics, asking whether personality is decided by nature or nurture. The first episode examines John Barrowman's homosexuality.
All right, well, let's go into mine, okay? If it was me, okay, this is the deal. I take my hair colour from my father.
Yeah.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
As your boot. Mind you, when I turn about 40-ish, if I get to that age, all being well.
But hair colour doesn't come into this.
Hold on a wee second. Hold on a wee second. Hold on. Then I'll go grey.
Nature.
Then I'll go grey, right?
Right.
Okay. I take the worrying aspect of my personality from my mother. I take the sporting aspect from my father. You know, mm-hmm. he signed for Linfield once upon a time.
Did he really?
Yeah, he only played in their seconds. But that's besides the point. That's how I got the call up on Saturday. To play for Liverpool Legends.
You're following in your father's footsteps.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, I could get into more of that, but, you know, but that's all I've got for you at the moment.
Mm. I'm not even going to bother going into mine.
Well, who do you get what from? With your mum and dad?
I don't know.
You're domestic.
I'm not really into self-analysis.
You're a domestic goddess around the house. You take that from your mom.
No, I'm really not, though.
Oh, dear.
Well, sometimes I am.
Well, there you go.
And sometimes I'm not.
There you go.
So maybe that's half and half.
It's a bit like the way she does her chicken curry, half and half. Kirsty's mum, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, has her very own coffee shop.
Mm.
Does she do chicken curry?
She does, actually.
There you go, half and half.
It's
half
very
rice,
mild
half chips.
Chicken curry. It always smells gorgeous every time I go in there. I want it, but it's one of those things on the menu that I'm not allowed to have because I don't pay.
What?
You know what I mean? I can go in and have the stuff that's...
No way. Does your mum just not go in and come in and say, oh, daughter, Kirsty, it's lovely to see you.
I'm lucky if I get a panini.
Like. What?
sweet chilli panini. Chicken panini.
I cannot believe your mother, right?
If I ask for mushrooms, I get a dirty look.
I don't... Kirsty,
you know what I mean?
Kirsty, are you telling me, right, that your mother, right, put the pre-tax profits of the business ahead of her daughter's welfare. That is ridiculous,
it's
ladies and gentlemen. We should campaign free lunches for Kirsty.
I'm allowed to sit.
Well, whoopee do. Well, we've had a really hard day. Any chance of some mushrooms and maybe a plate of chicken curry? Out! Out! Don't go home and make it yourself.
Snodcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's more health risks this morning.
There's another one.
This one has taken me to the fair, okay? This is in this morning's Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph, right? Now, these aren't your tabloids, right? These are your...
These are the proper papers.
Proper?
I'm sorry.
You're telling me the Star isn't a proper paper.
What's a better way to put it?
Well, there's a couple of fake things. There's page 3 in the Star this morning. Anyway, right? Apparently, right, the latest thing to be bad for your health, right is having fat friends. I think this is really bad, okay? Having fat friends could be bad for your health. True, Bill, okay? Scientists say being around overweight people could increase the chances of piling on the pounds. They're calling it a spiral of obesity and claim there's a danger in constantly seeing larger sizes as it makes the extra inches seem normal. What a load of absolute rubbish. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we should start a new campaign. Save our fat friends. Be proud of your fat friends.
Have you got any fat friends?
It's classified. At the end of the day, right? Listen, this is the deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that I'm fat?
No.
Right, okay. I was on the Nintendo Wii the other night, right? The Wii Fit.
Yeah.
The Wii Fit tells me that I'm overweight.
No.
True, Bill.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're only, what, 14% fat or something ridiculously low like that, which just sickens me.
16, actually.
16%
there
fat.
There you go, that's beside the point.
And I'm probably back up to my...
No, in fact, that's a lie. I'm 20%.
You told me you were about...
I'm 20%, right? But between 16 and 25% for a person of my build and my height, okay? And being a male, it's average, between 16 and 25.
So you're within the average.
Yeah, but the Wii Fit tells me I'm overweight. So anyway, so I could be... I'm a fat friend. Save our fat friends, everybody. Stand up and be... I should phone the Daily Mail, the Daily Telegraph and say that I don't like this. I don't like this. I think this is ridiculous. I think you are who you are. You are what you are. It doesn't matter what size you are. Although Gordon Brown says being big's not good, it doesn't matter. You are who you are.
Mm.
You know what? They're almost trying to make you fall out with your mates because they're slightly overweight. Oh, I can't hang around. I can't go out with you tonight because you've put on 2 pounds this week.
Snodcast. 97.4 Cool FM.
Our sports Jedi is with us. Good morning, Nigel England.
I can't confirm that this is, in fact, live.
Yes.
Why? Yeah, why?
Just in case anybody thought...
What?
It might be another pre-recording.
Yeah.
No. It's not.
Well, Nigel, good morning. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
I believe someone. I'm very well, thank you. I believe someone from Ulster Rugby made a comment about my heavy breathing, pretending to be you last
week. Yeah, if Anne's listening.
It was Nigel pretending to be Darth.
If Anne's listening in the way in, good morning, Anne. I had to send her an email back saying that's just the way I pick up women.
No. Does it work for you?
No, it hasn't worked for a long time, actually.
Well, Nigel, this time last week we were talking about the Open Championship.
I had to correct my brother in that as well.
And how GMAC, you said, was not going to win it, and he didn't win it, but it was an enthralling finish.
It was a terrific finish, and fabulous that Padraig Harrington did it again.
Absolutely.
It might have been nice to see the old man Greg Norman win, but...
Yes.
You got to cheer on the Irish guys, and Graham McDowell had a really good week, but... it was Paddy Harrington's turn again, so yeah, it was a good finish.
Nigel, I did spot that you were not in the 3,000 strong crowd at Clannaboy Park to watch Liverpool legend for Spanger last Sunday. Why not?
The 3,000 strong crowd.
It was
3,000 there.
I was one of them.
There you go. See, my colleague here came to support me.
Well,
where were you?
Yeah, we're back to that one show discussion again, aren't we?
I didn't support him in that.
Listen. I do not look like Adrian Childs, and Kirstie does not look like Christine Blakely.
Well, I really... Well.
And there's nothing going on with them anyway, and there's nothing going on between us, so that's fine. Moving on
to the spectacular that was Bangor against... I noticed the way that a certain local newspaper didn't even bother putting your name in the team sheet.
I know,
in the match report.
That's because
they didn't know who you were.
No, this is not because they didn't know who you were. Because the journalists, right, at the Belfast Telegraph, who were writing the actual story on it, thought to themselves, we're not going to put... He's not even a proper footballer anyway. He doesn't get a mention.
It looked as though Bangor were playing with 10 men. In theory, they actually were.
No, to be frank, I was playing right midfield. That was all right.
He did well. He set up a goal, Nigel.
There you go, Nigel.
The second goal, he crossed it over. The other guy chucked it in the back of the net.
Kicked it
in the back of the net.
We were playing Gaelic. We were playing soccer, all right?
really?
It was nice that they give you your own shirt.
I don't know, very nice.
Cool.
But you haven't heard the best story yet, Nigel.
Which is?
Well, at the dinner afterwards, Alan Kennedy, four-time European Cup winner, came approached the table with John Aldridge, and he says, hey, boy, how you fix next Saturday? And I said, I'm fine. And they've invited me to come and play for them.
Tomorrow,
at the Oval.
My, that, I have really no idea. I think I've got to go to that game tomorrow.
Terry Bell. So I might only get 5 minutes. I might get a minute. I might just sit in the subs bench, but it doesn't matter. I'll have the shirt on. I'll be part of the team.
And you're going to be playing for Liverpool.
Yes.
This is just...
I know. If I was you, I'd bring your camcorder. I'm sure you'll be able to get a £250 you've been free a moment out of it. I guarantee.
I'm surprised you want the whole thing probably recorded anyway. Prosperity.
Well, prosperity, yeah, that'd be quite nice.
I tell you, that's I mean...
So you've got to cover the game tomorrow?
I wouldn't quite say cover the game. I think I'd be in the corporate hospitality tent.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
If you're going to be working at the bar, don't serve Nigel.
Why not?
Because you need him outside to watch a match.
Yeah, because I'm not there to support him tomorrow. You'll have to stand.
Oh, have you other things on tomorrow?
No, I just haven't got a ticket.
We'll get you a ticket. Yeah. No, ladies and gentlemen.
He's playing for Liverpool.
Ladies and gentlemen, right? This is the deal, okay? Man United Ruth was in Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday because Nigel was packing his bag for Beijing. So what's in your bag for Beijing?
Wouldn't you love to know?
Yeah, I would actually. That's what I've asked. Have you packed your ladyship?
Let's just say if... let's just say one or two things that customs might have... No, I'm only joking.
You see, now you're going to get stopped going through the airport.
All right.
Well, it's Chinese customs, of course.
Mm. Now, here, tell us, have you got your visa sorted for Beijing?
All done, sorted.
It's very, very good. Whenever I went to China before, the visa's nice in the passport. I keep it for prosperity. I always look at it when I go and go, I've been there, it's nice.
Yeah, well, no,
I know. I've almost been like Shirley Valentine, you know, she always wanted a stamp on her passport. I always wanted a visa, I got one.
It was fixed. It's my accreditation, actually, is my visa. That gets me into the country. So I got it last week, so it is exciting.
Is this thing you wear around your neck?
This is the thing you wear around your neck.
I'm surprised you didn't have it on today, especially.
It's actually about an A4 size thing. It actually, you know,
weighs
you down.
Now, Nigel, before you go to Beijing, we're looking forward to your reports coming from Beijing. But before you go, I know you're going to the Olympic Games and stuff, but I've got a problem with our sports coverage.
Uh-huh.
And I realised this earlier.
Only
on.
Only one. Like,
well, no, actually two.
Okay.
Two events that happen, right, that you don't cover in the sport.
Oh, really?
Yeah. First and foremost, okay, there's the World Tiddlywink Championships. I think they take place in White's in Belfast. I'm not too sure when they happen, but you never seem to cover them.
You're asking for it, Pete. Really hear this.
Yes. What's the second thing?
The second thing is Tenpin Bowling. Now, you never talk about the Tenpin Bowling. The guys up in Dundonald are hard at it, and there's a couple of youngsters who have headed off to the World Championships.
And we don't cover them?
No.
Well, you know what? I am actually going to get my assistant...
Are you
to look into this?
Do you have an assistant?
Will you cover the word Tiddlywink Championships?
Well, where are they?
If I get you a ticket.
Where are they?
I'll find out where they are and when they are the next time they're on, and then will you go down and have
we'll include that with the dominoes. Anyway, amongst all the, we'll classify them as things that aren't sport, you know, alongside darts, snooker, and Formula One racing.
How can you say Formula One? Why is Formula One racing not a sport and golf is?
Do I really need to explain this?
Yes.
Okay. Put me in the Ferrari and I'll win the world championship.
No, you wouldn't.
All to do with the car.
It's not
nothing
the
to
car.
Do.
It is a certain amount. Did you see Richard Hammond trying to drive a Formula One car on Top Gear?
Is that the one that almost killed himself?
Yes.
Well, he's just a bad driver.
No, but he couldn't even get it going.
With some bad luck.
Hey, you have to admit, Tempin Bowling is a sport, though.
This is honestly true. You know the first ever sporting event I ever covered as a journalist?
Would that be Tenpin Bowling?
It was the World Tenpin Bowling Championship in Dunhall High School. I kid you not.
And you haven't been back since. That just goes to prove something.
Get back to your roots.
Well, Nigel, here, listen. over the next week, okay? Because when are you going away to China?
I will not be here next week because I will be on a plane.
Oh, will you?
Next Friday.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, will you call us from the airport just to let us know what's in your bag?
You know what? I just do that. Yeah.
Thank you, Nigel. Snodcast. Thank you for checking out this week's Snodcast. Available at iTunes for free. If you haven't done so yet, get yourselves on iTunes, type in Pete Snodden and subscribe to our Snodcast. It'll be automatically downloaded for free to your desktop. You can do it the old conventional way by just checking out coolfm.co.uk as well. And remember, tell your mates. You can join us in real time weekday mornings between 6 and 10 right here on your number one hit music station, 97.4 Cool FM.